halfway through an open mind program on this Friday morning, and a big thanks to our guests in our first segment from the OMAC School District, talking about their reaching out to those during the Christmas break and giving them, you know, some support with the 3F Club. That's the food, fellowship, and fun. And in on the air with us, we had Superintendent Michael Porter, and also the OMAC High School Principal David Kirk, his daughter Kathleen, and then the FCCLA Supervisor May Riggin. Big thanks to all of them for being on with us this morning, and we wish them the very best as they a lot of hard work going into setting all that up, and a big thanks to all the organizations that are taking part in it as well. As we mentioned at the outset of the show, we were kind of leaning that we would have a second segment, and that was confirmed as we saw a couple folks out in the lobby when we were done with our first segment. And we are so happy that we can bring on our second segment this morning. And we're going to be talking about, we have a guest from the Okanagan Conservation District, Eli Loftus, to tell us about, well, you wouldn't think about it right now when it's in the teens and there's lots of snow on the ground, but we do get wildfires here, don't we?
Yes, Chris, that's very true, yeah, for sure. And yeah, and you wouldn't think that it's the time of year to be thinking about wildfire, but really, it actually is the best time.
Definitely,
you know,
yes.
We're kind of homebound, or we're doing a lot of the activities that we're doing to try to control the snow, but now is the time, especially for folks who want to learn more about how to make their home more resilient, more resistant to wildfire, mm-hmm. to get that information and to prepare so when that snow melts off, come hopefully, you know, March, here's hoping, that they'll be able to get on out and not only do everything that they need to do to help get their property cleaned up from these storms that we'll be having and will be having here for the next couple months, but to get ready for that wildfire season as it approaches.
Yes, and you know, I don't know if you have this information, but you know, we went from kind of a late fall when it was still almost summer-like condition, and then just instantly the winter. And so, you know, vegetation is certainly was hit hard. You know, a lot of trees with leaves still on. So as we come on the other side of winter, you know, what the vegetation is going to be probably still kind of in a mixed-up mode, I imagine.
Yeah, that's true. There's going to be a fair amount of debris. I mean, just driving over here to the radio station from our office in Okanagan, we could see, you know, a lot of storm damage, a lot of ice damage to trees just here in town. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the folks over in the Mattow Valley and up north, Noraville, and there everywhere else in the county are probably going to be seeing a significant amount of winter debris already sitting on the ground by the time the snow melts. And that's the easiest stuff to remove. I mean, that in terms of fire, that's pretty quick ground fuel that mm-hmm. a fire would consume very fast as it moves around. So getting that stuff up and disposing it of in some way, and the Conservation District can assist folks in disposing of that material in ways that are not only efficient but also positive for air quality and soil quality, can help really reduce risk, especially near homes. A lot of times with fire resiliency, we break the home up into three zones that's about a 100-foot radius. Zone one is the 0 to 5 foot. So that's from the exterior wall or from the exterior of your porch out to 5 feet. And in that area, you want to make sure that you remove any available man-made or natural fuel. So, I mean, especially if you have storm debris that happens to catch itself in a little pocket near the back of the house or in a little corner there where the deck meets the side in there, that's a great spot to clean out and make sure that it's clear before fire season arrives. Because if not, that's an excellent place for an ember. Fire could be miles away, but a good wind blast could bring an ember, land there, smolders for a couple of days, and then it ignites, and that's where tragedy starts.
Yeah. Well, I remember in 2014 and when Pateras went through its catastrophic fires, I don't think there's any fires anywhere else. I remember embers landing in our parking lot, wind-driven embers. So.
Yeah. The biggest risk to homes and other structures is not actually the flame front. Mm-hmm. It is wind-driven embers. Yeah. Fire systems create their own weather that can significantly alter what you'd be expecting, especially if you're in a draw or a canyon around here or anywhere else in Western North America. And so being ember smart and ember aware by making sure that you reduce your fuels in that first 0 to 5 feet and remove any other available fuels. And that next zone is about 5 to 30 feet. And that's where you can have, you know, some landscaping, more of a hopefully more well-maintained, more irrigated lawn feature and things like that. But you want to make sure that you don't have interconnecting tree crowns and things like that. And then from that 30 to 100-foot zone, that tree can still have kind of that naturalistic environment that we get to enjoy here in Okanagan County in eastern Washington. But with a little bit of management, just making sure that you're no removing excess needles and hopefully making sure that the crowns of your trees aren't getting too close, that if a crown fire did occur, that it could spread, that kind of thing.
All right. So now, does the conservation district, if somebody were to contact you and wanted you to evaluate what needs to be done, is that possible?
Yes. One of the primary things that we do here at the Okanagan Conservation District in terms of wildfire resiliency is providing property owners and rentees here in Okanagan County with home risk assessments. Those assessments are typically conducted by myself and then also my colleague Dylan Streeter, who works with me in our fire program. And we go on out to somebody's property and we try to focus it around homes because that's where we feel that folks can get the most maximum bang for their bucks in terms of their action to increase their resiliency. But we'll look at everything, be that barns, corrals, and also we'll do some forest health consultations as well. And so we just wander out. It's an absolutely free service. We don't charge a thing. And we don't get to do them as much as we'd like, especially in the Okanagan Valley. We get a lot of utilization of that service in the Metow, which we're very happy to provide. Mm-hmm. But especially for folks in the Okanagan Valley, it's a great resource. It's kind of underutilized, unfortunately. And we're hoping to, coming out here today, we can get the word out. And come the springtime, we'll be able to wander on out to folks' places from Pateros on up to Oroville and do those assessments and help folks increase their resiliency.
Yeah. So they just contact you at the Conservation District office?
Yeah. So you can call our main line, which number I'm suddenly forgetting, perhaps. Yeah, 085-085. Excuse me. Sorry. Say it again for me. 422-0855, or you can give me a call at 509-429-3453, or you can schedule an assessment or request an assessment at our website at okanagancd.org-wildfire.
Okay. And how long does it take, or does it depend on how the...
Well, it depends on a couple of different factors. Every home, every property is unique in terms of their assets and their challenges when it comes to fire resiliency. Typically, we like to do it with the property owner or rentee present. That way, we're able to have a dialogue, and they can kind of express their concerns and their questions to us in a way that's pretty organic and that we can kind of help guide them along. In some cases where we have, you know, folks who are second homeowners who may not be around their home all year round, it can take 20 to 30 minutes, and we can knock a couple of them out a day. Yeah. But we really like to be able to have the person there with us to be able to have more of an educational opportunity as opposed to just kind of a static assessment,
right,
essentially.
Sure. Have you had any folks, you know, you've done these assessments, and then they've had a challenge, you know, a nearby fire or something, come back to you and say, wow, that, you know, your consultation with us was great and saved our home, or, you know, any feedback like that?
Yeah, we've had that a couple of times. We've been offering these assessments for many years now, especially in the aftermath of Carlton Complex, but we've had people who have been impacted by wildfires after the assessment. We've also had folks who, you know, especially after a few years after they've had their last one, they call us up again just to make sure that they're still good to go. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we also, so the home assessments are very much at, you know, a small scale. I mean, the home, a single unit of property. We also provide community risk assessments, and those are very often what we do is we work with the FireWise USA program. Mm-hmm. FireWise USA is a 501c nonprofit that works with communities across the United States to help get them to come together and work on increasing their community resiliency to the wildfire. And the Conservation District partners with the Department of Natural Resources to provide those FireWise communities, but also we'll do it for anybody, be that a neighborhood, a HOA, what have you, who's interested in being able to identify their risk for as a community level and how they, as neighbors, as fellow property owners, as fellow stewards of this landscape, can come together to help reduce their risk and increase their resiliency. And so we have FireWise USA sites across Okanagan County, from Chillowist all the way up to Cameron Loop Road, and then we have a whole bunch of them in the Metow, especially around Mazama.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've had announcements come in about some of those presentations that were going to be taking place, so I'm always glad to pass the word along.
Oh, yeah. And then also with FireWise, we also work with DNR on the Wildfire Ready Neighbor Program. We had a very successful pilot launch of that program in 2021 in the Mattow Valley that was actually attended by Hilary Franz, the Commissioner of Public Lands, and then we did the full-scale, full-blown launch of it in the Edelweiss HOA up near Bazama back in October. We had over 60 residents come on out. And those that Wildfire Ready Neighbor program is also another way for folks to get access to these fire resiliency resources and to also request those home risk assessments. And you can be able to do that at wildfireready.dnr.wa.gov. And we partner with DNR in Okanagan County to do those. So either the person coming out to do that will either be Will Knowlton, who is the Community Resiliency Coordinator for DNR for Okanagan and Ferry Counties, or myself and Dylan.
Wonderful. You know, and then this last summer, wildfire season, the numbers were way down, weren't they? I mean, we had not too many major fires. And so, you know, somebody could be kind of lulled like, oh, you know, that wasn't a very bad summer. And so it's just important, like you said at the outset, that, you know, you want to make sure you're ready at any time.
Yeah. Because especially 2022 was definitely a grace year for wildfire here in Okanagan County. Folks have been hit hard, and they've been hit frequently for the last near decade at this point, so it was nice to have a bit of reprieve.
Yeah.
But, you know, nature does not always continue to abide.
Yeah.
And so it's never a guarantee that the next year will not just be worse or as good as the previous. So having an eye towards that, the journey of fire resiliency is one that's a very long one, and I don't know what it quite looks like over the horizon. But as long as we go through it together and continue to work on increasing our resiliency as individuals, as property owners, we can increase the resiliency of communities, both the human communities and the biological communities of our county, well into the future.
Very good. Well said.
And also in terms of, it was also a bit of a grace here because we were able to focus in part also on wildfire recovery. That's the other part of our wildfire program here at the Conservation District. Our wildfire recovery focuses a lot on providing assistance to agriculture producers and other property owners in recovering agriculture infrastructure that's been impacted by fire. This year in 2022, we were able to assist in the rebuilding or repairing of over 20 miles of agricultural fencing through cost share for fires that for folks have been impacted by the Muckamuck, the Cold Springs, and other fires in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at the 2020 fire that was south of here. So much fence line and a lot of loss of livestock and everything. That was a pretty devastating fire.
Of course. Definitely. And restoring those fences not only helps relieve a financial burden to those property owners that have been impacted by those fires, it allows them to more properly and hopefully more accurately conduct their grazing and their grazing management. So that helps their land recover. And also in the case for the projects that we've done on the reservation, we install wildlife-friendly fencing. So that's helping the newly reestablished pronghorn population that was reestablished by the tribe to be able to disperse and avoid being tangled up in fences because pronghorns struggle to be able to jump over them.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's neat to have these resources available. So.
Yeah. And, you know, the Conservation District, we're not just wildfire. We are a whole bunch of different conservation concerns. We've been practicing cooperative conservation since 1940, and we are just here to help you find solutions that work best for folks and their places that y'all care for. We're a non-regulatory agency, so everything folks do with us is entirely voluntary. But, you know, in addition to wildfire, we do everything from wildlife habitat improvement, rangeland management, conservation education, for K-12 and for adults, irrigation efficiencies, and a lot else. It's a very significant voluntary thing that folks can do for themselves and for their communities by engaging with the Conservation District on these kind of programs.
Yeah. Now, if somebody wanted to come to the office, where are you located?
Yeah, so you can come on down to our office. We're at the USDA Service Center in Okanagan, 1251 2nd Avenue, room 102. So just come on down. And that's also the same building as the NRCS and the Farm Service Administration. So I imagine a lot of our agriculture producers are pretty familiar with those two agencies. And if you're not, feel free to wander on down the hall and see what we can do for y'all.
You bet. All right. Well, anything else, Levi? Or Eli?
Whatever name you want to call me.
I don't think
I have anything else. Just thank you all for your time,
yes.
And we hope to see for the folks out there listening, we hope to see you sometime.
You bet. Well, thank you so much for reminding us of your services, and not just the wildfire, but all the other services too. But, you know, as we have been hit so many years in a row, and it's just good to know those resources are there for you to come and do an evaluation and help people be fire ready. So, all right.
Yep.
Well, thank you again.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll take one final break on this morning's Open Line program, and we'll tell you who's coming up in the days ahead. Stay tuned.